Susan Vreeland's been dressing up the bestseller list the last couple of years with a series of novels about painters and their subjects. She started with Vermeer and a novel called Girl in Hyacinth Blue. Then there was The Passion of Artemisia, about a female Renaissance artist. And now she's tackled the life of Canadian icon Emily Carr in a book called The Forest Lover. Here she is with a brief excerpt.
If there was any kind of portrait worth doing, it would be the portrait of a tree. But a portrait had to convey character. The channels in this cedar's raw umber trunk all stretched upward, reaching toward light. It was more than a tree, however noble. It was the manifestation of the attitude that had brought her this far, reaching. Not just the tree, but that idea was her subject. The things in a painting were only bits of visible evidence of a still, small voice whispering a truth.
Susan Vreeland, reading from The Forest Lover. Emily Carr was born into Vancouver society at the turn of the 20th century. She decided to become an artist. That was bad enough, but what really shocked her family was her sympathy for British Columbia's tribal people and her appreciation of their art and culture.
Here was a woman in the early 20th century who traveled alone against the confines of her strict family to native villages, up rivers in canoes, out to the Queen Charlotte Islands, to places where white women did not travel, even if they were with men, and she did it alone, to Indian villages to paint. Now, I use the word Indian because that was her term. That was the vernacular of the time.
Was it that desire to rebel that led her away, or was it the need to find an expression of art that led her into the adventures, do you think?
It was the latter. She felt that native art conveyed something of primitive Western Canada before white man by their carvings on their poles and on their homes, which brought to life the animistic spirits that they felt lived in the forest.
Was it her choice of subject that caused her to be such an outcast from
her time? Not entirely.
I mean, would it have been enough for her to be an outcast just to have become an artist?
No. There were other women who were artists. They painted in watercolor, and normally their subject matter was either portrait or flowers.
Now, she did study art first. She
Yes.
more or less pursued the normal...
At first. She went to art school, first in San Francisco and then in London. But in London, they only taught women watercolor. And she felt her big province and those bold trees, those trees 200 feet tall, and those striking totems deserved a bolder treatment in paint. So she needed to learn to paint in oils. And for that, she had to go to France. That was in 1911, when Paris was bursting into modernism. So she came back with a variety of ways of seeing that were entirely new. She'd been exposed to Impressionism, Post-Impressionism, Cubism, Fauvism, Expressionism. And she tried them all.
But they weren't enough.
They were not enough to convince people in Victoria and Vancouver that she was an artist of merit. They ridiculed her. So now it was not just subject matter that went against the conventional grain, but style as well.
Yeah. Now, what was it? You talked about the passion of the native art. Was it the native art that actually drew her, or was it the First Nations culture that drew her? Do you know?
Both. First, the art seemed very sophisticated to her and very much alive, working in a spiritual realm. She often spoke that the totem carver would get at the spirit of the totem figure first and not look from the outside in, but look from the inside out. That appealed to her. But in addition, the indigenous cultures had a philosophy that appealed to her. And the first tribe that she visited, the Nuchalnuth, have a phrase that expresses this. It's Hishuktsawak, and it means everything is one. Man, animals, plants, sky, waves, all are expressions of a single spirit.
Once she got there and was in the place she wanted to be, began to paint the kinds of things that had appealed to her, did it change her art?
I think the simplicity of the sculpted forms encouraged her to simplify not just the poles that she was painting, but the forests themselves and the shapes of the branches turned into solid sculpted forms. Not little, you know, she didn't paint it little leaves on the tree anymore.
You don't see the needles on the fir trees.
No, no. This is bold sculptural trees. Yeah.
Now, is this really a straightforward story? You're a historical novelist.
You've
taken a real character and used many of the real events in her life. But rarely do real lives lend themselves to straightforward telling.
No.
Did you have to invent Emily Carr?
I did. I tell you, I see the discipline of a historical fiction writer as worlds apart from a biographer. A biographer carries a life from birth to death, covering everything that that researcher can find. And that provides wonderful raw material for a historical novelist.
You need to go do the research.
But I can't follow a biography where every event is given equal attention. A historical novelist has to keep in mind that they're writing a novel. They have certain themes that they want to explore. And any biographical material that doesn't contribute to those themes, we don't have space for.
There must be days, though, when you're sitting in your studio writing and you're thinking, I wanted to use that. It doesn't forward my story, so I can't use it. But I really wanted to use that piece of information.
That surprisingly didn't happen as much as you might think. Now, the reverse of finding something that you don't want to use is looking for something and not finding it. And on those occasions, one has to invent. How did she learn so much about where the poles were? I had to invent people that she could speak to and learn from.
Now, this is the third of your novels that deals with painters.
That's right.
Do you find yourself understanding painters? I mean, I guess the question really should be, what is there about painters that draws you as a writer in?
I've always been surrounded by art in my family since childhood. So it was very common to talk about colors and interpretations of scenes. Paintings have been an uplifting force to me, particularly in low periods of my life. I went through a life-threatening health problem. I was working on both my first novel, Girl in Hyacinth Blue, about a Vermeer painting, and The Forest Lover. And so both Emily Carr and Vermeer, so totally different, gave me a spirit.
A strength.
Emily gave me strength. Vermeer gave me tranquility. And I'm so grateful for what they gave me that I want to share with other people who may not be museum goers. They may be readers, but not art lovers. The tremendous upliftment and healing that can come from just giving yourself to a painting.
Susan Vreeland's latest novel is called The Forest Lover.